going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And now the series is tied at one apiece as the Rockets try to go into San Francisco and get one back. At least one back for the Warriors, with the series now shifting to the Bay Area for games 3 and 4. Rockets win it. Series tied at 1-1. 109-94. Your happy final score. Big nights for Jalen Green. A double-double as well for Upward Shingun.
All right, that was Craig Ackerman on the call. Space City Home Network carrying that game last night alongside TNT. ABC will be on the game on Saturday. No Space City Home Network for Game 3. They'll be back on it for Game 4. Love listening to those guys. Craig Ackerman, Ryan Hollins, Vanessa Richardson do a great job. And the Rockets win last night. 109-94, the final score. They beat the Golden State Warriors. I would say the biggest story in this game, Seth, from a Rockets perspective, is the bounce back game for Jalen Green. The big story, if I had to guess today on national debate shows and NBA Today and shows like that, is the status of Jimmy Butler moving forward in this series.
Yeah,
that's a big 100%. That's probably a bigger story than Jalen Green nationally, I would imagine.
I mean, if you look at when Jimmy Butler was in the game, the Rockets were still playing very well.
Yeah.
But you have to wonder, okay, as the Rockets were attacking Steph Curry, at some point, the Warriors are probably going to figure out a way to be better offensively than they were without Jimmy freaking Butler.
Yes.
So that this without Jimmy Butler in there, man, I feel really good about the Rockets' prospects. Steph Curry had as many turnovers as he had field goals in that game.
Yes.
It just, man, they are a different team. You pointed out earlier, the Warriors without Jimmy Butler, you're looking at him, you're like, who the hell are these guys? This Draymond Green character is a withered old man.
Yeah.
And they're not the same team.
Tell me, okay, so Jimmy Butler's gone. Steph Curry is obviously one of the greatest players of all time and the greatest shot maker and shooter in the history of the game. And then if Jimmy Butler's gone, tell me which of these names strikes the fear of God into you. Draymond Green, offensively I'm talking, Draymond Green, Moses Moody, Brandon Pajemski, who had a stomach bug last night. He was 0 for 5 from the field in 14 minutes. Those are their other starters. Are their other starters, those three guys. So those are guys who actually start for a playoff team. And then their next guys, their next real minute eaters off the bench are Jonathan Kuminga, Kayvon Looney, Gui Santos, Quentin Post, who turned into Larry Bird last night for some reason. I don't expect that to happen again. Buddy Hield is a name you know. 2 for 4, 1 for 3 from three last night. Like Gary Payton II. Like these are, I said this last night. Amy and I are watching the game. I said, man, if you took these two teams and just went to a playground and you take their jerseys off and like, let's pick sides. You know, Steph, you're the captain. You know, you pick. I will concede that Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler would be the first two players off the board if you were to do a draft of these two teams. I think the next six guys, at least, if you were doing a big board of players in this series, are Rockets.
Right.
There's not a single name that I just named that I would take on my team right now in a playoff game over Alperen Şengün, in no particular order, Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason. Hell, Fred VanVleet's better than 80% of the guys I just rattled off. Bad night, he's better than 80% of those guys.
And I think, okay, let's say Jimmy Butler comes back, and the long layoff between games is going to help the Warriors, obviously, in this regard. Mm-hmm. If Jimmy Butler comes back, the Rockets still routinely hold the Warriors below 100 points.
Correct.
And if Jalen Green can just keep up that same level of play, I probably shouldn't say just keeps up that same level of play. It was really, really good. It unlocks a whole lot of other things and other people. But like, they've won the rebounding battle heavily in both those games. The difference between game one and game two was that you got nothing out of Jalen Green or Fred VanVleet offensively.
Yep.
You still didn't really get much out of Fred VanVleet offensively last night, but Jalen Green let the game come to him. And from the very beginning, you could see, okay, this is the better version of Jalen Green. It was almost, Sean, it was like any of those movies where the brilliant scientist has that moment where, he just starts seeing how it all comes together.
Yeah.
A Beautiful Mind or Oppenheimer or something. And that's what he did. Let's go with Oppenheimer because it came with great fury and violence.
Jalen Green is the atomic bomb.
Yes, yes.
Well, he
it all came together for him. Everything he started to see, it all just came to him. And he was driving and kicking some brilliant passes underneath the rim. Just some really, really good stuff.
That was early in the game, like the most important number in this game early on for the first quarter and a half was Jalen Green having 4 assists in the first quarter. And, and I think they all 4 came in like the first 5 minutes. The first possession, he finds Amen Thompson cutting along the baseline. When he wouldn't have done that on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
He would have had 3 guys smothering him, and he would have tried to shoot the basketball.
And it wasn't like he was tiptoeing trying to figure it out. He was driving.
Yeah, he was aggressive.
He was barreling towards the rim.
Yep.
And then making good, smart decisions with the ball. Yeah, that version of him. And it wasn't by accident. He spent extra time in the film room with the coaches in the last couple days. I think that Jalen Green having a couple extra days between game one and game two compared to in the regular season or what have you, that probably helped out a lot.
Yeah.
If he had to go out the next night and play again, he wouldn't have had time to kind of maybe step back and reassess and change his focus.
I was really happy for him last night. He's a smart player. He's obviously a very good teammate. He loves to play. That was really good to see it come together for him. Now you got to bring it on the road and do it on the road. Back to Jimmy Butler. Here was Ime Udoka talking about the changes after Butler went out of the game.
Yeah, obviously he's a huge part of what they do. Isolation score, cross matches. He likes to hunt those, and so you could key in on Curry a little bit more, obviously, with him not on the court. And I think we did that for the most part. He had 5 points until the two late threes in the first half. And then, scoring 20 on 6 for 15 with 6 turnovers. We got aggressive with him, went after him, and tried to make some other guys beat us, and it worked for us.
Yeah, 6 for 15. You hold Steph Curry to 20 points and he's turning the ball over 6 times. You should win that game by 15 points. You know, that's the thing that encourages me, Seth, is that, it was a superhuman effort from Jalen Green. And the 8 of 18 from 3 doesn't begin to, I think, grasp the magnitude of some of those threes and when they happened in the game. You know, a couple of them happened as Golden State was trying to push their way back into the game. But you won that game by 15. Like, and I'm going here is if Jimmy Butler doesn't come back, then keep in mind you won this game by 15 points, probably should have won by more. And that was with Amen Thompson in foul trouble the whole first half. That was with Fred VanVleet playing really poor offensively again for this team. That was with the Warriors having Moses Moody and Quentin Post shooting a combined 7 of 14 from 3. Like, I would argue, Jalen Green, like, him replicating that game is going to be difficult to say. Like, well, if he just does that, and I know that's not what you were saying, like, if he just scores 38 points, Jalen Green can have an average Jalen Green game. Amen Thompson, I think, is going to be a factor at some point. He's been a non-factor so far for the most part. I think Fred VanVleet should... It's hard to play worse than Fred VanVleet has played in these first two games. And the Warriors needed superhuman three-point shooting from some of their others just to hang around in this game.
And I'll tell you, too, there's an element to, look, the Rockets play a physical brand of basketball. And there was zero... The Amen Thompson running into Jimmy Butler, there was nothing dirty about that whatsoever. But in a lot of regards, when the Rockets go up against other teams, they're the hammer and the other team is the nail. And as we've addressed before, there is zero part of me that has any appetite to say, their other key player got injured. No, Chris Paul's hamstring endures. Damn it.
Yeah, that's right. No, the gods are the guy. If Jimmy Butler's MRI comes back with some injury that keeps him out for any period of time, this is retribution for 2018 in my mind from the basketball
I'll tell
gods.
You what. Of all the places I'd want to have a hairline fracture, the pelvis might be the least, the one that I'd
Ooh,
least.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pregnant woman injury or something. I don't know, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you use the pelvis a lot and you just don't realize it, you know?
In pregnancy?
And
I
walking,
guess childbirth.
And walking. Yeah. Just sort of a little bit of everything. And it was last night on the broadcast. I watched the local broadcast last night and I can't remember if it was Ryan Hollins or Craig Ackerman who brought it up, but the Rockets' physicality in this series should start to take its toll more as we get to the part of the series where there's only one night in between games and you're traveling back and forth. This being a 2-2-1-1-1 situation as opposed to 2-3, as opposed to only traveling twice, right?
Yeah.
You know, 2-3-2, you travel, you play the first two games, travel, play the next three, and if necessary, you come back and travel and play the last two. This one, they're going to be flying from Houston to San Francisco back and forth. This team whose main guys, Draymond, Jimmy Butler, and Steph Curry, are all well on the wrong side of 30.
And nobody whines more about the travel than Steve Kerr.
Yeah. But on a series where they are getting bludgeoned night to night by this Rockets defense.
Yeah.
This is one of those series that should be, as it wears on, that type. Now, I don't know if it means the Rockets win the series or not. If Steph Curry goes insane shooting from three and doesn't turn the ball over, then, and we should keep in mind, the Warriors still have the home court advantage right now in this. Rockets got to steal one in San Francisco. You know,
that's another part of it, though, is that Steph Curry has already kind of gone insane in both these games with a lot of the threes that he's been hitting. And it's not a huge... It's not shocking or surprising when he does that, but even the shots, the incredible shots he's made have been ones that you can't depend on or rely on every single game. You know, there's going to be, you play those two games again and there's a chance that he's shooting much worse from three because he's made some damn impressive shots,
I know,
I get it. He does that a lot.
Yeah.
But even by his standards, like the consistency with which he's been doing it has been pretty damn impressive.
It's so true. I think the biggest number in this game from a Warrior standpoint, Seth, especially when you consider it's a game that Jimmy Butler only played 8 minutes, and this goes to show you how effective the Rockets were at trapping Steph and getting the ball out of his hands. So many times Steph would drive into the paint, and I'd be like, all right, well, he's going to throw up the floater here, and he would kick it to the corner to one of these other guys, many of whom were knocking down shots, so I get that. But he only took 15 shots in a game that Jimmy Butler played 8 minutes, and the next best offensive player on the team is, I don't even know who, Jonathan Kuminga? I have no idea who the next best offensive player is after Curry and Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry only took 15 shots in 37 minutes. I mean, that just goes to show you what a good job they did of trapping him, what a good job they did of when he would drive into the teeth of the defense and they'd converge on him and get the ball out of his hands.
I mean, that's a big difference, too, with Jimmy Butler in the game, though, too, is that, you know, you're not going to get away with Şengün going out to the perimeter to help out as much if Jimmy Butler is in there.
Yep. So, man, I'm excited. I'm very excited for Game 3. Saturday night, Game 3. Okay, this is some funny audio here. Let's do the Tillman one, Ben. I don't know if you saw this, Seth. Tillman Fertitta was speaking to the University of Houston basketball team, the Cougs, and was talking about how he was in, I believe he was in Washington, D.C. He was meeting with some real luminaries in the political world.
And he was meeting with the president.
The president, and I think there were others in the room, and they were talking about Coug basketball, and here's what he had to say.
I was in the White House, in the Oval Office, with the Prime Minister of Italy and the President last Thursday, and we talked about the Houston Cougars, I can promise you, for at least a minute and a half. And then we talked about that dumbass Luka Doncic trade that Dallas did.
Don't think he meant for that to leak out, or maybe he did. I don't know.
I wonder if the Prime Minister of Italy is the one who brought it up. the tariffs, we can talk about that later.
Well, what about Luka Doncic?
What is this, Luka,
What is this, Nico Harrison? So that was pretty funny. Here's Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb, former Rocket. He was part of the James Harden trade back in 2012. And I think he's out of basketball now. I mean, it's been 13 years since he was drafted. He was on a podcast, and I don't recall the name of the podcast. I apologize. But, I mean, Jeremy Lamb's dyed his hair. He's painted his nails. He's got all sorts of bracelets on. And when you listen to him talk, Jeremy Lamb sounds like he's, you know, he's enjoying retirement, or at least this particular day of it he seemed to be enjoying, just based on his you know, monotone. Anyways, here's Jeremy Lamb with an incredible story about former Rocket Kevin Martin.
I got traded with, what's the name, Kevin Martin.
Damn, that's a name.
And that's a name, too.
That's a name.
Kevin Martin was like, he was a beast. He used to look up at his stats, and he used to be like, he'll look up, say it's like the second quarter, and say he got like 19 points.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look up and be like, I got too many points. And I'm sitting there like, what? What you mean you got too many points? He like, I got too many points. If I keep scoring, then they gonna make me an all-star. I want my time to myself.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there like, damn.
That's elite, man. When you feel so comfortable scoring, you're like, I'm gonna dial it back a little bit. I hate to make the all-star team.
I wonder if he was, all right, in that moment, Is this a case of not understanding sarcasm? Is that because you could totally see something like, oh, I got too many points. I'm gonna mess around and be an all-star if I do that. I'm not buying that Kevin Martin just flat out said, like, nope, gonna dial it back a little bit. I don't wanna. It's like when I make jokes about not wanting to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, that's why I played the career I did.
Right.
Because I didn't want the hassle of being in the Hall of Fame.
Right, right. And so I know you, and I do a show with you every day, and the audience knows you, so they would know your form of sarcasm. I don't know. Like, Kevin Martin, look, Kevin Martin, I'm looking at the back of his basketball card here on basketballreference.com. He was a Rocket. He was a Rocket for three seasons, three excruciating seasons. Those were the bad times. They weren't even horrible. They weren't bad like the last couple of years. They were in that 39-40 win purgatory for a few years where Daryl Morey was just trading everybody every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Kevin Martin was on the team for a couple of years for the Rockets, and he averaged 23 a game 1 year and 17 a game the next year. But I was never connected enough to those teams. I can't tell you one Kevin Martin quote from the 3 years he was on the team. You know what I mean? Like, that was such a boring Rockets team that I don't know that I ever even watched an interview with any of them, you know, like to know if he had that kind of comedic game. But it does. I'm going to guess. It's fun to think about.
I'm guessing if Kevin Martin has ever interviewed about this, he might. I'd love to find out whether, like, oh no, I was joking, of course.
Yeah.
We'd have to look and see. All right, in the did he have a ridiculous number of triple doubles or anything?
No. Yeah. Okay, here's how I know he was joking. Jeremy Lamb joined him on the Rockets in 2012, I believe 2011, 2012 is when Jeremy Lamb was drafted to the Rockets. It was right after UConn won the championship. He was a UConn guy. In the years that Jeremy Lamb was on teams with Kevin Martin. Keep in mind, Kevin Martin, who routinely averaged like 23 and 24 a game in Sacramento all those years,
yeah,
he averaged 17, 14, 19, and 20 a game.
Yeah.
Like,
there was never a point where he was like, oh no, if I score too many points in this game, I'm going to be an all-star.
Yeah. I think he was being sarcastic. It's funny audio, and it's fun to think about.
I downgrade Jeremy Lamb for not understanding sarcasm. Unless maybe when he was telling that story, he was just saying that he's a funny guy. He's making that.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, I had a mailbag question, Seth, to the Utopia Football Podcast that asked me to do something that's really a Payne and Pendergast thing. We are the masters of the hex, right?
Yes,
the hex. Chris in the ATL is a loyal listener to this show and our podcast. And he asked if you could hex one AFC South team's draft this weekend. Put the hex on an AFC South team's draft. Who would it be? We will do that coming up next.